If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Huge thank you to Zane Crawford for preaching last Sunday for me as we attended a family reunion. It's always good as a pastor to have a retired pastor who's a member of your church family for lots of good reasons. One is that he can preach on occasion, but also just to have him as a resource in our congregation is a huge blessing, so thank you to Zane for doing that. I want to tell you where we're going this morning. I'm going to share with you a message that I've entitled Our Pastor's Heart. I just want to share my heart with you on several things. Next week, I've asked Pastor Kenny, as our family pastor, to come and share something that he's very passionate about, is how the family should be involved in God's design for growth in the life of the believer. And so I want Pastor Kenny to come and share that with you. And then on the 15th of this month, 2 weeks from today, I'll start a six-week series where we're going to take a good hard look at the book of Ephesians and see what God has in store for us as a church. But this morning, as I share my heart with you, I want to share with you some things. And the scripture that we're going to look at, many of you have heard before. If you've been here very long, you've heard me preach it, because it's vitally important in the life of our church. And whether this is your first Sunday here or you've been coming for 50 years, my prayer for you today, for each of us, is that God would speak to our hearts, more importantly through His Word rather than my heart. But I want you to hear what I think He is saying to us as believers. And some of this came a couple of months ago. I was headed to a meeting in East Texas, and I was paying attention to the things on the side of the road as I was driving, just watching the scenery as it went by. And I noticed this tree that I've driven past many times before, but the tree had not caught my attention before. And it was a tree that was a dead tree that was laying in the pasture. So go ahead, Jeff, show them that tree. So you see that tree, it just caught my attention. I don't know why, other than that God had a message for me in it, but I just kind of, it caught my attention. There were beautiful big trees all around it, and over the miles of driving through some rolling hills, that's on a back road and a meeting that I was headed to, and it just kind of struck me, just kind of jumped out of the pasture, so to speak, at me. And when I came back a couple hours later, I literally stopped on the side of the road and went up and looked at that tree. I took my phone with me, and I was taking a couple of pictures of it. I thought, I wonder why that tree fell to the ground. And I noticed that it had been cut once I got closer. I didn't see that from the road, but when I got closer, I could tell that somebody had actually cut it down. Okay, Jeff, show them why they cut it down. When I walked up to that tree, it's completely hollow. As far as I could see, I got as close as I could, and you look in the base of that tree, the trunk of that tree, and it's completely hollow. So then it made sense to me why somebody cut that down, because it's very close to the road. It's a huge tree, and if it had fallen down, it would have definitely taken their fence down in their pasture, could have gotten cows out or whatever, but it also would have covered most of the road, could have caused somebody at nighttime to have a serious issue. So somebody in their wisdom cut it down. But once I saw why, it struck me. For the almost two-hour drive home, I couldn't get that image out of my mind. I've been thinking about it ever since. That tree had an issue, but nobody could see it from the outside. We don't know what happened there. But for some reason, the roots couldn't feed that tree what it needed anymore, and it began to be eat up on the inside, so much so that it was a dead tree that was probably standing there maybe for many months or maybe even many years because of how big it was, until someone decided that they needed to take it down to protect their own property and protect others. But it struck me as I drove that a lot of times that's how we as believers can be. We can look good on the outside, but if we're real honest, the inside's a mess. We haven't been spending time with the Lord. We haven't been doing what we know is necessary to grow in our walk with Him. And if somebody cut us open, they would see on the inside that we're pretty hollow. As I thought about those things in relation to my own life, it convicted me to make sure that I am taking care of the insides, that I'm extending the roots as far as I can into His Word and allowing His Word to feed me in my relationship. Because it's easy for me to study and present a Bible study or present a sermon. It's a whole other thing for me to make sure that my relationship with the Lord is healthy and strong. You see, the Lord doesn't change. He's always available, but many times I have neglected or not put the time or the effort into walking with Him the way that I know that He desires that I do, and I know that affects my growth. I wouldn't want the Lord to look inside of me and see what He saw inside of that tree. That on the outside everything looks okay, but on the inside there's an issue, there's a problem. And that problem lies with me. And it also is something that I want us to take a look at for our church. We don't want to just look good. We want to be good according to what God's plan is for us. So we're going to start this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy 6, this chapter, really this whole section of Scripture, is God giving instructions to His people as they're entering the promised land. Remember that He chose the nation of Israel to be His own people. And when He did, He gives them some guidelines, some commands, some judgments, some statutes, some teachings, some things that He wants them to abide by for their own good and because He loves them. And so He kind of summarizes it here in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and even when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." See, these words are commonly called the Shema because in Hebrew, the first word in verse 4 is Shema. It's listen, pay attention, understand what God is saying to you. And He says to them, as you're headed into this promised land, you need to make sure that you have no other gods before Me. Remember the Ten Commandments, the first commandment? God said, "You shall have no other gods before Me." Here He says to them as they're going into a land that has many gods, a place of foreign people, but the Israelites are coming in, and the God who brought them through everything to get them to the promised land is the one true God. It wasn't a bunch of gods. It's the one true God. And He says to them, you need to declare who your God is. Not only as a nation, but also as individuals. Have you individually declared who your God is? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? Do you promise to follow God and then actually do that with your life? Do your relationships and your businesses, your finances, your opinions about everything from politics to what people are doing in your family, do all of those line up with the things of God? Or do they line up with your desires and what you think is best? Have you declared who your God is? If you remember back in Joshua chapter 24, Moses had led the people of Israel up to the point of coming into the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God changed the leadership to a man named Joshua. And in Joshua 24, as he brings the people into Israel, he gathers them all together. And Joshua, knowing that it's the end of his life, he says, "Look, God has taken care of us. He took care of us from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He took care of us even in the wilderness. It's been God who has brought us to this point and brought us, as He said, to the promised land." But Joshua says to them, you have to make a decision. You have to declare who your God is. You have to declare it individually and as a family. You have to declare who your God is as a nation, and then you've got to live that out. And Joshua says to them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you and your house? We say that a family is one or 100. How many ever live under your roof? In your house and your family, have you declared who your God is? Do your kids know who your God is? Do your actions line up with that? Do your attitudes line up with that? Or would they say to their friends, yeah, we talk about God, but we don't really live for God. We're like that tree that Pastor Steve showed. We're hollow on the inside, but we want everybody to think everything's good. The outside doesn't matter if the inside's falling apart. God says here to the nation of Israel, choose who your God is. And the only God that you need is me, the one true God. Look at what he says on how to do that in verse 5. He says it's very simple. You got to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Your heart is everything that's inside of you. It's not just that organ that's beating, moving blood through your body. Your heart, according to the word of God, is who you are. It's what God has given you. It's who you are when people are looking, and it's who you are when people are not looking. It's everything about you. Do you love God with your heart? He says also we should love God with all of our soul, with everything that is spiritual about us. Many of us want to go to heaven and spend eternity with him, but we don't live like we want to do that. We haven't given him our soul completely. Oh, we may have walked an aisle and made a decision, and we read a Bible on occasion, we keep it in a special place, but are we really digging into his word? Are we allowing the roots of our tree to grow deep so that we can get the nutrients out of God's word that he wants to give us? He also says we should love him with all of our might, everything physical about you, your opinions, where you are, where you're not. He wants us to love him with everything. You may remember the story in Mark chapter 12. Jesus had a teacher come to him, a scribe of the law, somebody who knew the law. And he came to Jesus to test him, and he asked him, which is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus quotes what we just read, the Shema. He said, you should love God with everything that you are. Love him with all your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your might. And he declares, God is the one true God. There is no other. That's how Jesus answered him with the greatest command. And you'll remember that Jesus also said to him, you also should love your neighbor as yourself, for in those two commands are everything that you need to know. The law and the prophets are encompassed in those two commands. Love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. So how do you do that? Jesus says in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6, not only will you love God with everything, but you've got to put it on your heart. These commands that he was giving them are to be on our heart, because if they're not on our heart, they're not going to make a difference. If we want them to make an impact in our life, that's where they have to be. Remember back the first three Sundays in September, those of you that were here, we had 22 different people read 8 verses of Scripture over 30 plus days. It would have been one thing for them to stand up here and read the scriptures, but we heard as a part of their testimonies how over the course of that 30 days, those 8 scriptures impacted their lives from the inside out. It wasn't just reading 8 verses to present them to the church. It was what those 8 verses did inside of them over the 30 days, where it made a difference that resonated with each of us who heard not only the verses, but we heard their testimonies based on those 8 verses. Look at what God says. Not only should we put these commands on our heart where they'll make a difference, but we ought to teach them diligently to our children. Some of us say, "Woo, good, I'm off the hook. I don't have any children at home." The idea here is that it's anybody who's under your sphere of influence. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, neighbors' kids who come over, who you're around, people at your co-workers' kids at work, somebody that you can have an impact on, we are to teach them diligently. The word diligently here means to teach in order to make a mark, not a negative kind of thing, but a positive thing. Some of us learn by listening. Others of us learn by doing. Others of us learn by doing and failing and somebody giving us the chance to try it again and try it again and try it again. Learning is not just hearing it one time and we're done. We've got to continue to teach it diligently. And look at what he says, how you teach it diligently. You talk about it when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's all day long. Most of us today, when we leave this place, may make a comment or two about what happened in church, but most of us will not have an extended conversation about what we read in God's Word today. Our kids will go pick them up and we'll ask them, hey, what did you learn? We learned a story. They may give a little bit, but then we're done. We feel like we've checked that off our list. We've talked about God, but we haven't talked about it diligently. We've taken a moment, not the whole day, to talk about the things of God. We haven't taken a scripture and tried to diligently leave a mark in their lives, teach them what it means. As we said, there were people who took 8 verses and it took over 30 days for God to truly get down into the depths of their lives with those verses. It doesn't always take that long. Sometimes it takes longer. Are you and I willing to learn it and then to live it and to share it? He says once we are doing these things, then we need to bind God's word as a sign, a distinguishing mark on our hand. You see your hands all day long. You may not notice them, but they're in front of you all day long. You eat with them. You type with them. You use your phone with them. You do all kinds of things with your hands. They're in front of you all day long. In other words, keep the word of God as a reminder in front of you all day long. He said put it on your forehead or your as a frontal. In other words, everybody who sees you anytime during the day, no matter what your relationship with is with them, do they know that you belong to God, that you love God with everything that you are? If you do, they know it. Aha, I caught him, and he's not going anywhere, except he stung me, and then he's going to go somewhere else. Awesome. All right. We need to bind them on our forehead as a frontal so that God allows us to be used by him so other people see him and not us. He also says we should write the word of God on the doorpost of your house, anything that you own, and on your gates. Do you use what God has blessed you with to bless other people? Or as you say, no, it's mine. I get to use it for my pleasure, to do what I want to do with it, to make me feel good. I'm the one who worked hard to make this happen. But God is the one who blesses us and gives us things. So are we working on the inside of our growth, our tree, so to speak? I want to share with you not only about us individually, but also want to take a moment to share with you about our church and some things that I believe are important. I want to share my heart with you. As some of you know, our mission statement in this church is 3 simple words. It's word, family, serve. We're trying not to make it complicated, just very simple. Some say, well, Pastor Steve, why don't you come up with a new slogan or a new statement or some new saying that we can have every so often? And sometimes we do, but I don't want our church to be a slogan church because that's not taking care of the insides of our spiritual tree. Back in 2018, we used the image of a tree in our 50th anniversary as a church. That image, we said we were growing our roots and our reach. We're praising God for what he's done in and through the life of this church, but that's not done. We want him to continue to use us. So here's how we define those 3 words. Word means living out God's word. You and I have to know God's word in order to be able to live it out. If you're not involved in some small group Bible study, you need to find one to get involved in. If this is your Bible study, the insides of your tree are not growing the way that they should, which affects every other area of your life. Family we define as following God's design for my family. God's the one who came up with the idea of family. Man didn't. Look at what man has done with trying to make family its own design. We've got to follow God's design for my family, whether that's 1 or 100 of you in your house. Are you following God's design? The 3rd word is serve, and we define that as meeting others' needs out of my relationship with God. When you and I learn to meet other people's needs out of the relationship, then God meets things in their lives that you and I can't see with physical eyes. But God sees spiritually, and he knits our hearts with those people to do something that impacts them in a greater way rather than us just physically helping them. And earlier this year, we learned as we spent some more time on this that God is our source. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God is your source. Do you depend on him for everything? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then he truly is your Savior. You don't need another. You don't need a good luck charm. You need Jesus Christ. He is our Savior as a believer. And then if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is your strength. Do you depend on him? Do you ask him for help during the day, during the week? Since that is Word Family Serve is our mission statement, I want to share with you three things that I believe we do well as a church. And these to me are essentials, things that as a senior pastor we will continue to do as long as I'm behind this pulpit. Number one is we will study God's Word. We study God's Word in both worship services. We want to spend time in God's Word. The sermons are meant to make us focus on God's Word. If they're not, if we have somebody preach and they're not sharing God's Word, we'll make a change. We want the Word of God to be preached in this pulpit every single Sunday, every single service. We have 14 life studies classes or small group Bible study on Sunday morning for children all the way up through adults. We have 10 Bible studies on Wednesday, including Wednesday morning ladies Bible study and the evening Bible study for children through adults. On Friday morning at 6 a.m., there's a group of men that have Bible study from 6 to 7 a.m., and there are others as well. But we study God's Word well. We could still do more, but we do study, we offer opportunities to study God's Word well. And again, if you're not involved in a Bible study, I encourage you and challenge you, and beg you to be involved in a Bible study related to this church. The second thing that I think we do well as a church is we pray. We pray as a staff every weekday morning at 8:30 before we open the office at 9. We pray for needs that we know about. We give God praise for answered prayers for things that we know about. We pray for those for whom we get a request or something is going on that we know about. We have a men's prayer group that's been meeting for 25 plus years at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Any man in the church or community is welcome to come. We've probably had a couple of hundred men in 25 years that have come through there. It's not a breakfast. It's not a discussion time. We pray together. We pray for needs that we all bring. There's also a ladies' weekly prayer time before the ladies' Bible study, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Anybody's welcome, even if you can't stay for the Bible study. You can come pray with the ladies. We have another group of ladies that have been meeting in the chapel on Thursday nights once a month and praying. The purpose is to pray. We like to spend time on Sunday mornings, as you hear from here and in different classes, praying for needs and giving praise to God. Prayer, I think, is one of the things we do well, and we need to continue to do that. The third thing that I think we do well as a church is we give. Part of giving is 28% of every dollar that comes into this church in general offerings goes to our missions fund. 28% of every dollar that comes in general offerings goes to our missions fund. That is used primarily to help our covenant partners, but we also get to use it to do all kinds of things. You heard earlier that we're gonna help the Gillespie family. We're able to do that because we have money already in our missions fund to help in times of need and crisis. We spend $22,500 a month on just our covenant partners in the agreements that we have with the 12 of them currently. But there are all kinds of other needs that get brought that's a part of missions. We're able to help both locally and to the ends of the earth as a small church in Simonton because we give. Now, while those three things I think are important, studying God's Word, praying, and giving, I think that as we grow, we must focus on essentials. And so there's three areas that I want you to think about with me and pray about. Over the last 8 months, we've seen tremendous growth in our church. It's exciting, but it also presents its own challenges. Parking and getting in and out of the building. What do we do to, do we add more services? Do we rearrange things to make things different? What do we do? But let me share with you some things that I think are important, but we must, hear me here, we must focus on the essentials. If we're not taking care of focusing on the Word of God and prayer and giving, then we won't be focused where I believe God wants us to be. So we have to do those things. So let's talk about growth. It's one of the things that we're dealing with right now as a staff and as a board. It's we're praying about it, we're thinking through it, we're discussing it. Let me give you some actual numbers like I do once or twice a year. Life Studies is our Sunday morning Bible study hour. Go ahead, Jeff. Life Studies in the month of August, last year we had 191 in Life Studies classes, and this year we had 235. That's a huge jump for a small church. We have to have space for those people to be in class. Some of those classes that we have are based on the number of teachers that we have available and the space that we have available. So we love that more of you are going to Life Studies. So pray for us as we continue to figure that out. Total worship attendance just in the month of August. You can see last year we averaged 372 in August. This year in August we averaged almost 100 more people. And we didn't do anything where we said pack a pew day and bring all your friends and try to cram as many people in. That means that we have more people coming to the church, which is a good thing. The 8:30 service, some of you have never been in the 8:30 service. We've seen that grow tremendously even in the month of August. Go ahead, Jeff. You see that we grew, whatever that number is, 47 more people in just 1 month in the 8:30 service. The 11 o'clock service, we've also seen tremendous growth. There are 400 seats on the floor here currently. We had almost 300 of those full on average in a Sunday in the 11 o'clock service. So again, you see the growth that is going on. All of that's good. Please don't hear any complaint. But as your pastor, we want to make sure that we're handling growth well. We want to make sure that when you come in, you can sit where you want to sit in the service that you want to attend. That's not always easy to make happen. We want you to be able to park easy and get to be able to be in class and do all those things. The second thing that we think is important as we grow is continuing to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. We have a wonderful facility. We are blessed with facilities beyond what we deserve. As a part of that, our finances are a big part of that. Go ahead, Jeff. Finances through August. You see that general offerings, this is just general offerings, was $1,140,000. That's awesome. The budgeted general offerings through August is $1,132,511. So we're over that, but one of our goals as a church is to have 4 months, to keep 4 months' operating expenses in the bank at all times, to keep it in reserve. That's been a policy of this church for many, many years. Right now, we're at 3.09. Part of that is when we have unexpected expenses. This year, as a total budget, we brought the total budget number down to be good stewards. But then, in the middle of the year, we got word from our insurance company that has handled our liability insurance for over 20 years, that they were cutting us off. Now, we've never once placed a claim in the liability insurance side of things, but I found out from multiple pastors that company is getting out of the liability insurance business for churches. So there are lots of our fellow churches in the area that are scrambling like we did. We just got notice before them. So our liability insurance this year went from about $35,000 a year to $78,000 in 1 year. Now, that wasn't accounted for in our budget, and we shopped that around. So it's like you when something happens at home that you're not expecting. Your air conditioner goes out, and you got to replace the whole thing. That wasn't in your budget. You got to figure out how you're going to do that. We don't like to have debt. The only debt that we have currently is on the new foyer that we added a year ago, and our goal is to get that paid off. We want to take care of our campus. Currently, as of the end of August, we have almost $240,000 in our building fund. That's sitting there as we figure out what God wants us to do. If you walk this morning from these doors and go down to the gym, and you look at if you actually look down and look at the carpet, you'll be disgusted. It's horrible. We need to replace it. If you go into the great room, it's disgusting carpet, and we eat on it every Wednesday, not on the carpet, but on the floor. On the tables that are on the floor. We need to take care of our building. The education wing is over 15 years old. We need to take care of our facilities. We need to upgrade some things. And we're not talking about anything drastic, but just like at your home, your carpet sometimes need to be redone. Your walls need to be painted because you use it and people are bumping up against it. There are things like that that the board is getting bids for currently. We also want to make sure we get rid of the debt. We don't want that debt to continue on. We want to take care of it. We want to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. Last thing, the third area that I think is hugely important as we continue to grow is serving. In every single area, it makes us who we are as a church. It's part of the church family. When we see a need, we meet it. We help one another. It's not about one person being greater than the other person. It's about all of us. If we see the trash is full, we take it out. If we see there's a need in the nursery, we step in and fill it. If there's a teaching position and we can teach, we can figure that out, we take it. We allow the Lord to use us in different areas because it's about Him and not about us. While we keep focused on the main things, the essentials, we've got to continue to love God wholeheartedly. Remember Deuteronomy 6, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Jesus added to it and said, and also, love God with everything, but also love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that tree I talked about? It's been stuck in my head for several months. As I walked up to that tree and saw that how hollow it was, it struck me about my own life, and as I drove home, more about the life of our church. If anybody cut us in half, I would want them to see that we're vibrant, that we're growing, that we're pressing into the Lord as a body, but also as individuals. I wouldn't want them to see that we've got a bunch of junk. We look good on the outside, but on the inside, everything's a mess because we're not focused on the Word. We're not spending time communicating with God in prayer. And we're holding on to everything instead of giving as He calls us to do. We want to be a healthy tree. Go ahead, Jeff. Keith and I were in South Carolina a couple of years ago, and I went back on my phone and found this tree. This tree is hundreds and hundreds of years old. People from all over the place drive out into the country to see this tree. It's massive. And there are people who are constantly checking it and taking care of it. They want to make sure that it lives on as best as it can, so they treat it, they make sure that nobody's abusing it or trying to cut it down. That's the kind of tree we want to be as a church. But that takes each of us as individuals desiring for God to use us, spending time in His Word individually, spending time in prayer individually, giving as we have opportunity, helping Him even though He doesn't need our help. But He allows us to participate in what He's doing to build His kingdom. That makes it all about Him in our own lives, and it also makes it all about Him in our church. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being a pastor at this church, Simonton Community Church. And Father, I thank You for all the people that You bring to this church. Some drive great distances to come and be here. Some come from across the street. Some join us online from great distances away. Some are also just down the street. But Father, I thank You that You are the one who makes us who we are, not us, not the building that we're blessed with, not the location that You put this church in over 50 years ago. Father, this is about You and what You're doing. So Father, give us Your wisdom and Your discernment as a church to know how to handle the growth, to continue to be good stewards of the resources that You have blessed us with. Help us know how to serve, each individually giving of our time and talents and abilities to serve You here in this church that You have blessed us with. Father, I also pray that You'd help each of us individually. We don't want to be like that tree that had to be cut down because it was dead and the inside is completely hollow. We don't know what happened there, but we know that tree can't live because it doesn't have any way to get the nutrients up into the tree the way it used to. But Father, help us to focus on the growth that You allow through the study of Your Word and time in prayer and giving of our lives to You. Use us for Your purpose and Your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.